Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
It's Reaction Monday, presented by Superbook.com. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Another blitz is picked up this time. And a float to Kendall Hinton. He breaks the tackle and grab. And Hinton towards the pylon. Latavius Murray, he'll walk home. And the Broncos, indeed, have an opening drive touchdown for the first time this year. Carr looking for Adams. He's got number 9 on the season. And the Raiders are on the board. Wilson hit as he flings it. And somehow, it finds Melvin Gordon.
How in the world do you get this ball out? Wing and a prayer? Oh, my God. It's getting spicy.
Wilson lofting it, looking for Sutton, and he tracked it down inside the 45.
Puts it on a dime, and then look at Sutton. I mean, just here comes the airplane down from the sky. Are you kidding me? Good on good. It's where the team with the most Wolverine blood wins, right?
On Wilson's best day of the season throwing the football, he throws, and this time it's incomplete, and they'll have to punt it away. Carr loads up. Adams is open. Loft-off touchdown. A sweep of the Broncos for Las Vegas.
Well, at least Mark did an unbelievable job on the broadcast and an even better job getting in the phrases that pay. Because the game certainly isn't going to make anybody happy. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to it. It is a Monday. It is a Bronco Reaction Monday. Oh, swept by the Raiders. The season is going nowhere. The change to Clint Kubiak had it at least looking different, although not different results. We say good morning and we welcome your reaction on this Bronco Reaction Monday. On the Ramoslaw.com text line 303-713-1043, we say good morning to Mark Schlereth. Hello, pal. How you doing?
I am good, Michael. How are you?
I'm great. Hey, and first of all, no BS. I thought you did a fantastic job yesterday. As a Bronco fan, as a Bronco observer watching that game, I thought you were all over it.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, it was they did change it up a little bit. It did look different with Clint Kubiak early. It did have some rhythm and some flow to it. I was excited about what they were doing in and out of the shotgun. A lot of different stuff, but in the end, man, they just, as an offense, they just flat couldn't maintain. And that was, I mean, it was depressing. And, you know, really a huge turning point for me in that game. You put the ball on the ground, on the goal line, with a chance to go in and really hammer it home. I mean, really, you know, take that sting out of the Raiders and really put yourself in that position. And, you know, Melvin Gordon puts it on the ground. Now, Quinn Meyers, you know, falls on it, but then they block the field goal. I mean, that series right there gave the Raiders life and essentially just ended your chances. I mean, what are you playing for now? You're playing for pride, figuring out who can play. I mean, because you're 3-7. I mean, come on, that was it. That was the turning point of the game.
You're looking at a third and three. It was a third and one at the three. Gordon would have been, when he lost the ball, he was around the one. So you would have been probably looking at fourth and goal at the one, inside the one, with a chance to go up 17-7. At the least, you kick the field goal. It's 13-7. And you feel good. You've had the ball for three possessions in the first half. You scored on all three drives. And then you're going into the break knowing that you get the ball to come out to start the second half. It's and I've been a Melvin Gordon supporter, but I jumped off that train. I asked for the mulligan. I asked for the mea culpa on that one. And I continue to be amazed at why he continues to be used in high leverage situations. You met with Nathaniel Hackett on Friday. Did you get any insight? Because this falls under the idea for a lot of people of accountability. And why aren't you holding people accountable?
Yeah. You know, I talked to not specifically about Melvin Gordon, but about that topic. And, you know, the answer was this, is that, like, the game before in Tennessee, four false starts by four different guys. He's like, I don't have enough numbers to pull all the people that I need to hold accountable. Like, there aren't enough numbers roster-wise with the injuries we have and the people we have to say, hey, you can't play anymore. Because, like, in the backfield, you need a rotation, and Edmonds goes out. You've got Latavius Murray, and then those are the only three backs that are active. And then you've got Butterfingers. And Murray can't take every single rep. And that's where and obviously, like I said, Edmonds goes out. That's where you get into this numbers game where, you know, the accountability factor is, it's hard to hold somebody accountable when you got to have a fresh body.
Some reaction on the text line. Let's all say it together. Broncos gonna Bronco.
Boy, they are.
They have fallen into that category, haven't they?
Boy, they have. That's depressing, Mike. That is depressing. But, you know, you just felt it. Like, hey, you've got this number one defense in the National Football League. It's time. Hey, you got a chance. You got a chance at the end of the half. You got a chance. You know, and the chances they had, the end of the game. You give up the wheel route on a man-to-man coverage situation to the running back who goes, what, 45, 50 yards, whatever it is. I think those are the things that you can't allow to happen.
Well done on the broadcast, Stink. You truly are the master when it comes to the phrases that pay. It was a tremendous performance. Although I was starting to wonder, I almost texted you midway through the first half to just remind you because nothing had come out yet.
I had totally forgotten. I had totally forgotten about the phrases that pay.
Uh-oh.
And I'm in the second quarter.
Yeah.
Deep in the second quarter. And all of a sudden I look, because I have two boards. I have one, the big board that has got all the information on it. And that's down away from me. And then I have a little board that just has the rosters. That's it. Just the rosters. So that they're quick reference, you know, because I forget names. You know me. I just can't remember a name. So I got it right there in front of me, you know, offense versus defense. And so I'd never really looked down at my board. And it was like the second quarter, midway through and the break. And I was like, okay, let me see who, like, this guy. If this guy makes a play, is there anything? And I was like, oh, my gosh. I wrote them down in the little corner somewhere, the phrases of pay. And I was like, I've completely forgotten about the phrases of pay.
Oh my! So like, you totally redeemed yourself.
Yeah, I guess. Okay, I got to work on this.
What'd you get? You got four of them in, right? You got It's Spicy.
It's Spicy. Here Comes the Airplane. Wolverine Blood and Big Bite. Somewhere.
Big Bite. Yep, you got Big Bite in. The only one you did not get in, and we're not going to hold it against you, is you did not get High Knees in. But
and that would have been the easy. That was.
I thought that was going to be the easiest one.
It would have been the easiest one. There's no question about it. But then I got. When I realized I had forgotten, and then I was like, okay, I got to take care of the tough ones. I got to get there. And the High Knees was going to be easy. I would have, you know, it was hard in the late fourth quarter.
Yeah, because you had a good game going on. You had to be careful,
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, so, no, masterful. Masterful job. So when you're getting rave reviews on the Ramoslaw.com text line, more reaction on this Bronco reaction Monday coming up next. Okay, he made yet another move to try to turn the season around. It did not work. So what's next for Nathaniel Hackett?
A long December.
It's Reaction Monday, presented by Superbook.com. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Better than the last.
For me, everything's about this team and the staff. I've told you guys that before. I mean, I just want to do everything I can to help this team win. You know, we've been so close. We've had so many opportunities. We've had a lot of things happen this year that are unfortunate, but we have to continually find ways to win. That's my sole purpose. That's all I'm looking to do. Whatever happens, those are things I can't control. And I always communicate with everybody, talk about everything, show them all the different things that are going on so they can have all their answers, their questions answered. And go from there.
Nathaniel Hackett, after his team dropped to 3-7, got beat by the Raiders again. So let's see. Through the first 10 games of the season, he's acknowledged that he needed help when it came to game management. They hire Jerry Rosberg. He admits that he's not getting it done with the offense. He gives up play calling to Clint Kubiak. That doesn't change the team's fortunes. So what's left? What's left to do? He continues to acknowledge that he can't handle certain parts of being the head coach, and the changes that made aren't working. So what's next for Nathaniel Hackett?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because, you know, I don't know. I mean, at this point, from an organizational standpoint, you've got to look at everything that you're doing, all the, you know, there's always some whys, not excuses, but reasons why these things happen. And I think you have to do a deep dive into everything on your team. Is your team good enough? Do you have enough of the right components? But the bottom line is, you know, everybody and their brother's uncle thought, you put Russell Wilson, you get a legitimate quarterback, and you're going to have a big time chance, you know, to be a championship caliber football team. And you're anything but a championship caliber football team. And if your quarterback, who, you know, has had a ton of success over the course of his career, has just been, you know, a 9-time Pro Bowler, and he can't get it done in this, then, you know, something, I mean, you've already paid him. Like, that's not going to change. So something's got to be different, Mike. I mean, you've got to make some kind of change, right? After you evaluate everything, and I, you know.
Well, what changes are left to be made other than firing the head coach?
Right. I mean, that's, you know, we talked about accountability. I told you, how many weeks ago did I say Melvin Gordon wouldn't play for me? It must have been after the first Raider game in week four when he put the ball on the ground again and Amik Robertson returned it for a touchdown. Is that when I officially said this season that dude would never play for me again? Like, the accountability factor, like, at some point we've got to make some decision on where this football team is going, the organizational structure, how this thing has not been right. Like, I understand losses and I understand some unfortunate circumstances, but I don't understand the way this team looks week in and week out. And that's, to me, that's more of a cultural issue. You know, it's a coaching issue. It's a player issue. It's a, you know, the kind of players you put on the, it's an organizational structure issue. And, I mean, look at the change in Indianapolis. They almost beat Philly yesterday. They were in the lead of that game the whole time. Only scored 16, but only gave up 17 to Philly. In a one score game, that team has there's been a flip on that team from I guess an attitude, a culture structure.
By the way, I want to correct something I said earlier. That Melvin Gordon fumble, it would have been a first down. They would have had a first and goal at the two or the one.
Right.
Had he not fumbled, so I just wanted to correct that. On my part, on the Ramoslaw.com text line, I'm sick of this team. They just flat out stink. This is the worst team we've had. Nathangio can't hack it. Gotta go. Peyton gotta go. Blow up this team. No players safe. It's time to start the fire sale. Okay, I understand the idea of moving on from Hackett, but the team itself, like, I'm watching the Raiders. The Raiders were basically a four-person team on offense yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You had Carr, you had Jacobs, you had Adams, and you had Mac Hollins. Until the end, Foster Moreau came up with a big play. But basically, it was the Raiders all day leaning on their playmakers. And their playmakers delivered. The Broncos are without most of the guys that we thought before the season started would be their playmakers. No Javonte Williams. No Tim Patrick. No Jerry Jeudy. You know, you're seeing a lot of guys that were counted on to be big time playmakers that aren't there. So how much does that have to factor into the idea of blowing this thing up? I'm okay. I'm fine with debating the merits of moving on from Hackett. I've never been a fan of first time head coaches, and I wouldn't have hired another first time head coach. But when it comes to the idea of where they go from here beyond just the coach, do they have to take that into account with the rash of injuries?
Well, I mean, you talk about the Raiders playmakers, okay? They're down Waller. They're down Hunter Renfro. They're down a bunch of dudes, too. And I'll tell you this, it's interesting, that when they came into this season thinking they were going to be, and these are about adjustments, Mike, So I was talking to Josh McDaniels. He said, hey, man, we thought we were going to be an 11 personnel, a 12 personnel football team. You know, one back, two tight ends, one back, three wide receivers. That one tight end, three wide receivers, right? That's what we thought we were going to be. Well, Hunter Renfro, Devontae Adams, Josh Jacobs, and Darren Waller have played exactly 62 snaps together on the season. 62 snaps. So they've adjusted to a 21 personnel team. They play with a fullback. Like, they've made the adjustment. And they said, hey, man, we don't have the guys we thought we were going to have. 62 plays for our big horses. The guys we thought. And now they're leaning on two dudes. They're leaning on Josh Jacobs, and they're leaning on Devontae Adams. And that's what they have. And the bottom line.
Two dudes.
Right.
Two pretty good dudes.
Ultimate dudes.
But you think about it. You know, we talk about, you can talk about injuries, and injuries are inevitable, and it's unfortunate. And yeah, there's, you know, that's a reason. But how do you adjust to those injuries? How do you change? This is what we've talked about all the time. At what point do you find that one thing that you can do and you just lean on that? They found one thing, Devontae Adams. And even the Broncos took it away. You know, he had five catches. He had one catch going into, I think, the fourth quarter. He had five catches in the first half for 94 yards or something like that. And he had one catch after halftime until that fourth quarter. And then it was all about, hey, man, you got to find 17.
Yep.
Let's just find him.
And boy, Patrick Surtain is still searching for his jockstrap on that one. Morning Brew coming up next. Nathaniel Hackett's response to a very controversial decision right after the 2-minute warning. What he and the Broncos and Russell Wilson decided to do, he'll talk about it. You'll hear about it next.
It's time for your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
A long December, and there's reason to believe.
Yeah, we were discussing on whether or not we wanted to run the ball. We wanted to get ourselves a chance to be able to close the game out and win it. So we called a pass, and you got to keep the clock running one way or the other. Whether you take a shot down the field and you try to go up, maybe get a PI opportunity, because if you do catch it, you have a chance to win the game, and it's great. If it doesn't, the one thing, you know, we just want to be sure that clock is running if we can, unless we have a chance for the shot to win the game.
Okay, Mark, here's the scenario. Broncos come out of the 2-minute warning. They have the ball at their own 34. They're facing a 3rd and 10. The Raiders are out of timeouts. They decided to throw the football. Incomplete pass. Stops the clock. Raiders able to get the ball with 1:43 left and plenty of time to go down the field and get the field goal from Daniel Carlson to force overtime. What'd you think from the booth upstairs watching it happen? What'd you think about the decision, the play call?
Well, I didn't mind throwing the football. You know, my thought process was get him outside the pocket. Yeah, have a chance to run it, create an easy completion in front of him, and you know, obviously keep the clock running. It was my thought process, because we were talking about it coming out of the 2-minute warning. I was like, we were like, do you just run it here? And I was like, I'd like to get a first down. I mean, obviously, but you can't let the clock stop. And then, you know, to throw the incomplete pass, that was the one. You could take a sack there.
Yeah.
You know, because then you still, even that said, Mike, you're still going to give the Raiders the ball with about 1:03, 1:04 left, 1:05.
That's still almost 40-second difference there, though.
Yeah, it's still a huge difference, but if you think about, you know, the play they hit down the sideline to Josh Jacobs, if he steps out of bounds, there's still 45 seconds. You know, there's still, at that point, there's still 45 seconds left. It definitely would have made it a little bit tighter. There's no question. But, that's just another one of those things that it's how teams lose one-score games. It's how teams lose tight games because of stupid decisions.
Hey, I'm all for playing to win, but this team just hasn't earned the right to be able to throw the ball in a 3rd and 10 situation. Based on what we've seen all year. Hey, 3rd and 5, 3rd and 4, okay. Play to win, throw to win. But 3rd and 10, I wrote down at the time, I like, run it. But
yeah,
they didn't run it.
No, they didn't. And
run the ball!
Again, like I said, you can take a
Richard Sherman?
Yeah, you can take a sack. You can get him outside the pocket, you know, and try to get, you know, try to get a crosser, something easy. But yeah, you're just throwing it away in that situation. Run it. Just like Richard Sherman, run it, Russell.
No? One more?
Run the ball.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Next on the Morning Brew.
I thought we had a really good game for the most part on offense. I thought we moved the ball well. I thought guys made some really great catches. Cortland on the go ball down the sideline, the back shoulder go ball. That was amazing. He had a great game. I thought Kendall Hinton stepped up again. I mean, there's a lot of really good things in the game, you know, but not good enough. And, you know, obviously this game meant a lot to us. Meant a lot to us for a lot of different reasons. Obviously, it's an AFC West game, and we got to win those.
God, the bar is so low with this offense that even on a day which they, again, only scored 16 points. By the way, 9-1 this year. They'd be 9-1 if they scored 18 points in regulation this year.
Let's rock.
Every game. Yeah. Just 18 points. They'd be 9-1 right now. But the bar is set so low that I actually come away feeling a little optimistic that at least the offense looked better. The play design looked better.
Yeah, that is a real low bar. Buddy.
I know.
It's a real low bar.
I know. That's all I got.
I know. I hey, man, I get it. Yeah, you know, I was like, wow, this offense is really humming. We had 10 points. You know, I was like, wow. Yeah, exactly, Russ. I was sitting in the booth going, man, we're rolling. This is humming. Yeah, we got 10.
I know, it was. When they were up 10-0 and two possessions, two scores, people were like, all right. This is what we've been waiting for. All right.
Yeah, let's ride.
Awesome. Awesome. Oh, my goodness. Next on the Morning Brew.
Porter with the ball. Porter rising for three, and it's the first one he's made in the game. Denver leads.
Well, NBA TV right there, as the Nuggets showed some guts yesterday. On the road again in Dallas, second of the back-to-back with Dallas. And again, no Nikola Jokic. No Jamal Murray, no Aaron Gordon, but a gutty win as they pull this one out, 98-97. That's a significant win because it shows what some of these guys can do, usually in secondary roles, when given a chance to be out front and leading and delivering.
Yeah, that's a lot of dudes out, man. That's a man finding a way to win. There are no excuses. That's good, and especially after Dallas slaughtered them the other night. Just absolutely crushed them. So it's a good bounce back, good rebound win, and, you know, a tip of the cap to the Nugs for getting that done.
Well, you learn about the guys who you can count on and clearly are made up of the right stuff and embrace these kind of challenges, and boy, they got one in Bones Highland. This is an absolute hit that they got with this kid. 29 points, 10 of 21 shooting. Just said, hey, hop on my back, boys. I'm gonna take this one home. I don't care if we're missing three of our big guys. I'm going to bring this one home. And he and some of the other guys ably assisting, they get a good win. Next on the Morning Brew.
22 seconds left in the period. One timer. A blast to the corner. They score. McCarr.
Oh, the Avs. The Avs. Are we thankful for the Avs? How thankful are we for the Avs this holiday season? Shorthanded themselves, but over the weekend, a very impressive after winning in Carolina, in which they let's face it, just flat out stole one. But they were able to go into Washington and beat Darcy Kemper and Obe Kobel, a couple of guys from the team last year, got their rings after the game. But the Avalanche beat them 4-0.
Huge.
Well, it's huge, but it. I mean. We got to see Darcy Kemper, right? So it wasn't like it was that. But is that bad?
Oh, now,
ooh.
now we're come feasting on Darcy, huh? Well, we won a cup with Darcy, but now we're like, huh, hey, listen, we were able to cover up a lot of Darcy's warts. Good luck with that, Washington.
Right. Well, I mean, well, think about it.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
I mean, well. 4-0.
Yeah, no, you're right.
We saw him in the playoffs. Hey. Be surprised on a bunch of stops. Like, hey. Oh, wow, look, the puck's right there in my jersey.
Save percentage of 86%. Where have I seen that before? Oh, yeah, throughout the entire playoff run when he was statistically among, if not the worst goalie of all the playoff goalies, and the Avalanche still won a Stanley Cup with him. He'll be back later on this year with Washington, and we'll get the video tribute for Darcy for sure.
Yeah,
that'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. It is a Bronco Reaction Monday. A lot of good texts. We'll get to some of your reaction. Also, what did Mark learn from his one-on-one conversations with Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson on Friday? He'll share that with you next.
It's Reaction Monday, presented by Superbook.com. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
I just want to stay in the sun.
It is a Bronco Reaction Monday, as one texter put it. Man, Seahawks won without even playing this weekend. They did. They did. Folks, this is going to make you even more sick. But as of right now, the Broncos' number one pick would be to Seattle, and currently it would be the sixth pick in the draft.
No! God, please, no!
Oh, it'll get better. It'll get better.
Or worse. Hey, we got a big...
I mean, it'll get better for the Seattle.
Oh, yes. Got a big tiebreaker game coming up on Sunday against Carolina.
Yeah.
Carolina 3-8. They could earn the tiebreaker against the Broncos. Goody. Some more reaction. Let's hope this ownership gets it and can make a difference moving forward, making the changes necessary from Peyton on down, whatever is necessary. So, you had the opportunity this weekend. You met with Nathaniel Hackett. You met with Russell Wilson. You got to talk to George Payton. You even met Greg Penner for a little while. Let's. I'd love to get some of your observations of these folks and these conversations that you can share with us. Well, let's start with Penner. Did you get anything from him that would indicate this is a guy that might be looking to make immediate sweeping changes?
No, not. I mean, that is a dude just kind of taking it all in, watching practice. I met with him on Friday, or met him on Friday, meet with him, just met him, hello, you know, da 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 da. I mean, nothing more than in passing, you know, hello and introducing each other. And so that was about the extent of what I saw there. But he is, you know, he's out of practice. He is watching. He is paying attention. So, you know, that was kind of his role there. But no, I didn't see him, you know, being angry or frustrated or anything of that nature.
Okay, let's go with Hackett. He's the guy. He's the guy in the hot seat. You met with him on Friday. First of all, did you get any inkling that this change to Kubiak was coming?
No, I wouldn't say I got an inkling that it was coming. I talked to Hackett for about 20 minutes Sunday morning before the game. And, you know, walk me through the whole process of why he made the decision to do it. And it was, you know, frustration from the Tennessee game. They thought they were getting on track a little bit, but it really went back down to his father. And he said when he was in Buffalo, his father said, "Hey, man, even as the offensive coordinator and play caller, don't call plays during the practice. Coach your football team. Don't have your face buried in a script." And so he was like, it was time to get back to that. You know, my father's voice is resonating in my head. And he goes, there's so many issues. You know, I think there's just a lot of issues with the team from, you know, everywhere, and just want to be more connected and more relational to everybody on the football team. So turned it over early in the week to, you know, who the game plan together all the time, and Clint Kubiak, but turned it over to him early in the week so Clint Kubiak could be the voice in Russell's head all week long through as they practiced. And Nathaniel, you know, Hackett could kind of coach the entirety of the team, be connected more with the receivers and the offensive line of the tight ends and the quarterback and the running backs. And so that was kind of the whole process behind that. And then obviously that news leaked out Sunday morning. And so, you know, but I didn't know. He didn't tell me then that was going to happen. I think they wanted to keep that under the hats, and I don't know who let the cat out of the bag, but that was kind of the direction they were going in. And I had talked to him Friday afternoon in passing, and he said, "Hey, man, I'm going to call you Sunday morning and kind of give you the scoop on what we're going to do." And obviously that news broke right before.
All right, so he was saying so he was saying on that Friday he was gonna let you in on Sunday if it didn't break beforehand. So beat me with him. We've used all the words to describe Nathaniel Hackett: beleaguered, overwhelmed, things like that. Having had a chance to just sit down with him for 20-30 minutes, did you get the impression of a guy who is floundering? Did you get a sense you were with a guy who's can't explain what's going on, or did you come away with some answers? Did he give you some answers, some excuse? I mean, this is what everyone wants to know. Does he have answers and an understanding of why this thing is where it's at?
Yeah, I mean, there's frustration. I mean, when you talk football with Nathaniel Hackett, he knows. I mean, that dude grew up. He knows football. I mean, there is no question. He understands why it's going, what's going wrong, why it's going wrong. It's the inability to fix it at this point, right? That's been in the frustration of what's going on is. I mean, it's clear cut. There's huge frustration. There are huge issues, as we all know, and he certainly understands that. And it's just trying to figure out a way to fix those problems and to rectify problems and to get everybody to play better, from the running backs to the O-line. But most importantly, I think getting your quarterback to play better. And for the most part, Russell did. You know, one of the big things is just getting Russell Wilson to take the first read in the progression. You know, just to don't be bored with success. Just get it out there. Get it to him. And then let your playmakers make a play for you. Like, it doesn't have to be all you. And I think we saw that early in the game, and it looked really good. And that was, that's part of the process. So, yeah, he understands it. I mean, there's no question he understands it. He's got his finger on it. It's not being able to get it fixed.
And what about Russ? What did I predicted, I guess correctly, that would be everything is still awesome when you talk to him. But did you get anything from him that would indicate that? Yeah, I know I've been bad. I know I've been bad, and I got to be better. I got to make some changes. Did you get any sense of that at all?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I said the first thing I said in the meeting was, "Okay, you said it. You have to be better. What specifically can you do to be better?" He goes, "Well, we got to score more touchdowns." That's not what I asked you. We got to score. Of course, you got to score more touchdowns. I said, "What can you do to be better?" And I pressed him on about 3 or 4 times, and it's more team oriented with Russ, and it was positive. I did ask him though. I go, in a private moment, are you ever pissed off? Are you ever upset? Are you ever angry? Are you ever disappointed? Are you ever, And it was, it kind of got quiet, and he goes, "Well, yeah." But, I mean, there was a human moment there, right? There's a human element to it.
For a second.
Right.
The cyborg skin got peeled away.
It's spicy. Exactly. So that part I was kind of excited about, but yeah, I mean, he understands it. And he's like, "Hey, man, I've been in valleys before. Maybe this is the deepest valley, from a football sense, but I've been in valleys before and I've been at the mountaintop before." And so he's just like, I know it levels out. I'm just going to keep working. One thing about him is he's authentic when it comes to, "I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep a positive attitude. I'm not going to let things get me down." And I last night after the game, he put a scripture out there, and it was people just, you look at the replies, man, they just crucify him. Just crucify him.
So basically, it's the same thing he said one-on-one with you that he said during the week, that he believes that it's just a process, and if they keep working at it, it's going to work out. Just look at the long haul. Look at the big picture. Don't freak out. No admission that he needs to change anything dramatic. Just keep on doing what he's been doing his entire career, and it'll work out.
Believe in it.
Great. Coming up.
Yeah.
4 down territory. Nathaniel Hackett talks job security. Russell Wilson talks about the play that everyone's talking about. And how about the Nuggets showing a little bit of a Valentine? Little bit of Valentine from the Nuggets last night. All that coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.